Hello. Welcome to this first thoughts edition of the Once Upon a Time Fan Podcast, presented by Roni's Own Media and Roni'sOwn.com. This is an unofficial podcast dedicated to the ABC TV show Once Upon a Time. Your hosts are Jeff and Colleen Roni from Orange County, California. Hi there. There are a number of ways that you can stay connected and interact with the show. Our main website address is onceuponatimepodcast.com. Our Twitter name is OUAT Podcast. We are on Facebook at facebook.com/OUAT Podcast. Our email address is feedback@onceuponatimepodcast.com. And the address to our forum is forum.onceuponatimepodcast.com. Our blog web address is aclosereloukouat.ronizone.com. And our voicemail line phone number is 657-333-0626. Thank you for listening, connecting, and interacting with us. And now, on with the show.
Welcome, everybody, to another episode of the Once Upon a Time Fan Podcast. And we have just watched The Stranger.
Yes, we have.
And nothing is stranger than me.
There's a few things stranger than you.
I am Jeff Roni, even though Wayne has wonderfully said my name already. And
yes,
you are?
Colleen Roni.
So, yes, it is more difficult to keep my wife kind of on the couch. She she is jumping up and yelling and all. So
this episode was ridiculously good.
So many answered questions.
Oh, absolutely.
So many
confirmations.
Yes. Yes. So let's go ahead and dive into
The
Stranger.
Let's just do that.
So did you want to start?
Well, I'm just going to start by saying I loved this episode, but I say that about every episode. But I absolutely just loved this episode. I thought it was fantastic. And Ian Bailey, phenomenal. Just phenomenal. And Tony Amendola, oh my goodness.
Yeah.
And then to see little Jacob Davies.
Yep.
He was so freaking adorable.
He was.
He was, I was blown away. He was adorable. He was an absolutely adorable little child, and he did a great job.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, it just, and, you know, and of course, the rest of the cast is just amazing as well. But, man, they were just standout performances this week, so.
Well, I don't want to jump ahead, but tonight's episode reminded me of supposedly the movie The Big Hit is kind of patterned after an Asian film, and then it's broken up into parts. And there's definite sections going on.
Hmm.
And that's the way I felt tonight with this episode. There were, you know, people are going to say, well, of course, Jeff, it's different stories or different whatever. But now once we get there, I'll tell you what I mean. And it just seemed like we went from second to fourth gear. It was really kind of different. So,
yeah.
Anyhow, we start with... The first thing I wrote down was eighth grade.
Yes, that was when August said that he learned woodworking was in eighth grade. Mm-hmm. I wrote that down as well as a note, because who knows when that was just a, you know, that was obviously a lie.
Okay.
I mean, it really was. Yeah. It was a big fat lie, because he learned woodworking when he was 7 years old, and probably a little bit before that too. So I thought it was really the opening scene with them on the, you know, just, oh my gosh, it was amazing.
Yeah. First of all, Tony holding the wooden Pinocchio, weeping.
Oh,
now
gut wrenching.
I need to say this. I have never seen him in Stargate.
No.
I have never seen him in anything, and I am amiss. I need to check that out for sure.
Yeah,
because he is a great actor.
Oh, he is.
And we're fortunate enough to get the voicemail from him. But I'm telling you, I was so impressed tonight. So,
yeah.
Just so good, so good. And so, just that whole thing. Now, the beach where he landed after the whale incident.
Right.
It seemed too far for me. You understand? Because the Monstro thing happened in the ocean.
Right.
Now, I guess he could have drifted in.
Absolutely.
But it seemed too far for me.
But again, remember Monstro, the whole scene with Monstro was at night. So right. It was very dark.
Okay.
It was very difficult to tell how far out they were.
Right.
And when a whale is, you know, whales do come closer to shore during certain times of the year and what have you. So that's the only thing I can pull from it.
He did have the life preserver.
He had the life preserver, absolutely.
So
the life belt, life vest.
Now, that beach... Now, I'm not saying it was the exact beach, but it reminded me of the beach where the genie was.
Yeah, King it looked a lot like that. Mm-hmm.
I kind of wanted them to pan over to the left a little bit and to see that tent that was on the genie
that
beach.
That may or may not have been there.
Right,
because a tent is typically a temporary structure, not a permanent one. So.
Right. So, yeah, that was interesting. And then we see Pinocchio with the long nose.
Mm-hmm. It wasn't super long, but it was a long nose.
Right, right.
Yeah.
And then we see the blue fairy grant him his wish.
Yeah.
And he became a real boy.
Yes.
So, and then there were the three things, and we'll get to those, of basically how to stay real.
Right.
So, but then we do have the scene with August helping Mary Margaret and Emma keep Regina out.
Yep.
And build that little very ornate wooden lock.
Yes, he called it medieval chic or something like that.
Right.
I thought that was really good. And I thought it was gorgeous. I was like, wow, that's pretty impressive woodcraft there.
So then he begins talking to Emma and telling her that she needs to see the big picture.
Mm-hmm.
And because she's very frustrated, she definitely wants Henry.
Mm-hmm.
To live with her.
Right.
And he's trying to get her to understand that she has purpose in what's going on here and she needs to see the bigger picture. And she said, if I remember right, that you're taking me on a magical mystery tour.
She did. She said, what are you trying to take me on? What magical mystery tour are you taking me on now?
Right. And I thought it was very interesting to link that to the Jefferson airplane / starship and the Grace Slick musical, and also the Zoso.
Right.
So, I mean, there's musical little
mentions
here and
there. The other thing, too, is that actually it fits kind of, interestingly enough, if I'm not mistaken, and I could be, but wasn't Norwegian Wood, which is a great Beatles song, around that same time?
Yes. Well, I don't know, around what time?
Magical Mystery Tour.
Yes.
Wasn't that roughly around that same time?
Rubber Soul. It was on Rubber Soul, if I remember right. And Magical Mystery Tour was an album after that.
Okay. But so, it's roughly the same, which, again, Norwegian Wood ties into the whole Pinocchio thing.
True.
That was my thing.
Absolutely true.
Great song, by the way.
Mm-hmm. So then he mentions you have to take a leap of faith. So there's a lot of these type of core words and phrases that you either take with believing something that you can't see. There's some religious connotations to some of these phrases as we kind of go through, but yes, it was a lot of that today. And I have to tell you up front is I remember many of the conversations from Lost. Hold on, people that don't want to talk about Lost, just hang in, is when Jack talked to Locke and Locke just couldn't believe that Jack couldn't believe.
Right.
And he said, you know, why can't you believe that there's a purpose on this island that's kind of bigger than just let's get off this island, that we were brought here for a reason. And then Jack just said back, how can you believe? And then Locke said, how can't you believe? And so as we kind of go through this, you're going to see that, you know, the discussions that August had with Emma is that same type of crossing over the bridge from fact and reason to faith and belief.
Mm-hmm.
So it's very interesting.
Yes,
so
it was.
We see the Catman again. My old friend the Catman.
Yes.
And he's in a different seat this time in the diner, but I'm just like, this poor guy, he needs a job. I don't know.
Yes, but the diner scene was really good with Henry and Emma.
Right.
And where he explained to her that there was a new story added to the book, mm-hmm. which I thought was fantastic. And that's what really opened up the whole entire
yep.
thing into the Pinocchio scene that we saw that was really, really good.
Well, and it was brought out that the story wasn't finished.
Right, exactly.
And later on we learn
why
that the story was being written. And of course what was that song, Unwritten? Who sings that song?
Natasha Bedingfield.
Natasha Bedingfield. That mm-hmm. was a great song.
Yeah.
About life and how the future is unwritten and you write it and every day you wake up, you have a new chance to change it. So
right.
it was that kind of idea.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yeah, we switched scenes around. The Pinocchio scene was a little later, but
yeah,
that's
it was right
okay.
after the granny scene.
That's okay. I just want to talk about it.
Yes. So, but what was it that the fairy said to him about being able to stay a real boy? Because that was the
brave.
Scene.
You have to be brave, truthful, and unselfish.
Exactly.
Those are the three yep. things. And
so, she said, as long as you do this, you will remain a real boy.
Right. So.
And then we see his one leg.
Right.
That was awesome.
In a nutshell, don't lie.
Yeah.
Basically.
Yeah, don't lie.
Because lying is really all about you. It's kind of a
coward thing. It's more than
thing.
Not lying, though. Yeah, but I mean, that's right. the gist mm-hmm. of it, yeah.
So yeah, Geppetto said, this is all I ever wanted,
mm-hmm.
was for him to be a real boy.
Right.
That's it.
To have a son. That's all he right. ever wanted, was yep. to have a son. So that was really good.
And forgiveness came up again.
Yes,
when
it did.
Mary Margaret forgave Regina. And it looked to me like that kind of shook her to the core.
Oh, it absolutely did.
We have these characters that were used to being evil, bad, and these characters that are good sometimes get mistreated, misused, walked on, all this. But there are sometimes where the good characters kind of shine like a star and out from everything else. And within this town, everything's kind of going like Groundhog's Day, just, you know, mm-hmm. over and over and over, you know, even now, once the curse, or once the time has started again, it's still, there's no real big changes. It just kind of keeps going into this mire. I talked about it before is, you know, Emma is kind of falling into the mire of this town.
Mm-hmm.
When she came, she was the savior. And we'll talk about accepting that role a little later, but it's just, you know, Mary Margaret forgiving Regina was incredible because it was another one of those moments where, you know, I talked about King Leopold. He was just so good. It was almost sickening, but it was... Mm-hmm. So nice to see someone just good to the core mm-hmm. and then see what happened.
Right.
So.
Right. Well, and Mary Margaret said something to Regina that I noted that I thought was very interesting. She said, you know, you've got to let go of that because it will leave a hole in your heart.
Right.
So I thought that was very interesting.
Well, we've talked about heartless,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
no heart,
mm-hmm.
but a hole in your heart.
Mm-hmm.
And again, you know, there are some religious connotations to that, but also sure. I think in life is there's something missing. And that's what Mary Margaret's trying to tell Regina.
Right.
Is that even adopting a son, it's not finishing you. It's not completing you. There's mm-hmm. something else and you need to let go of that pain.
Right.
You know, we kind of know what that pain is.
Yes. And by the way, did you notice that Henry's lunchbox was a Tron lunchbox?
I did not. I
thought that was a
that.
Really cool, you know, nod to Disney stuff. So
yeah.
that was really cool.
So it goes to Space Paranoids was another kind of a Tron
yes.
nod, plus the water, drinking of the water, mm-hmm. and also the Eddie and Adam writing. Was involved with Tron Legacy. Mm-hmm. So
yeah, so it was cool. It was a very cool Tron lunchbox.
So I thought it was interesting that Mr. Gold.
Well, wait.
Okay.
Henry taking a stand against Regina.
All right, right.
That whole monologue was just whoa.
Yep.
That I was go Henry.
And that's what we've kind of talked about that before is. It's not just that people believe, but people believe and then they fall away and they don't believe and they lose faith, they lose hope, and then they come back. And that's what we've seen with Henry.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And initially he was all about the book and, you know, Emma, you know, you're the savior. You have to do this. You have to do that. And then all of a sudden when Regina kind of came back, he said, no, I'm afraid of Regina. We can't do this anymore. And we don't want to mess anymore with this. And then he came back and he goes, Operation Cobra's back on, you know, and now he's like, okay, I'm taking a stand. There's the way it is. This is it.
Good will win.
Right, right.
Good will win.
So
he's back on board and he's on board wholeheartedly, which is fantastic.
So Emma, we've said before, is she brings people together.
Yes.
To create a happy ending within Storybrooke, within right. the constructs of Storybrooke. But actually, in this case, Mr. Gold kind of was that person.
Yes.
In bringing Marco and August, at least together briefly, in his shop.
Marco just had the saddest look on his face. Oh, yeah. The fact that he didn't recognize him, and August, you could tell, was just traumatized by the fact that he didn't recognize him. It was a very sad moment. I felt so bad for both of them. And, you know, he was gold. He was Mr. Right. Gold.
Well, and he said to August, he said, knowing who you are and your nature.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
He said, trust is a big ask.
Yes, he did.
So
I thought that was a great line.
So again, going back to Lost, is that these people that came into this island all had this past of badness, and they had the opportunity to start over and do something better
right.
than they were before.
Rewrite their own history.
Right. And so we see that with August, in that Gold knows August's nature, but now he has the opportunity to do something better with it.
Right.
And so we'll talk more about that later, but I just thought that was interesting, and that's why he, and Mr. Gold said a word that I've said from probably the beginning, is nudge.
Mm-hmm.
I nudge people. And so that's really, it's a big word right there to me.
Yes.
So the clock, it was the same clock that we see in the shop and in Fairytale Land.
Which is interesting, because why did Marco go in there with the clock? He didn't go in and take the clock into him and ask him to fix it. He bought it from him.
Mm. Yep.
So that's the first time we've seen somebody go in and actually buy something, other than Henry's little fib last week.
Mm-hmm. And we heard the word hope mentioned again by the Blue Fairy.
Mm-hmm.
We haven't heard hope in a while.
Right.
The enchanted tree
was...
Now, there were a number of enchanted trees.
There were a number of enchanted trees, and that was the last one of them.
Right. So I'm not making fun, producers of Once Upon a Time, but it is funny that we have the last bean. Now we have the last tree. You know, they've been clear cutting out there in Fairytale Land, and now we've come down to the last tree. So anyway, it's just kind of
right, right. But we know exactly now how the whole thing was constructed, or how it came about that they were going to use the tree in the first place.
Right. I guess it makes the story more important if this is the last tree. Decisions about it better be important.
Well, exactly.
Instead of just,
because if there's like 15 of them, it's like no big deal. Then everybody could go. But yeah, the fact that it had enough magic for two people.
Now, Pinocchio was made out of the enchanted tree.
He was made out of an enchanted tree. Right.
Why make a marionette out of an enchanted tree?
So that it could talk, because remember, he could talk at the beginning.
Okay. All right. Fair enough.
Because if he was made out of regular wood, he'd just be like his parents, and he'd like Geppetto's parents and not say a word at all.
Mm-hmm. So the Blue Fairy, in one scene, said, Geppetto and Pinocchio, you need to save us.
Mm-hmm.
And then in the next scene, Emma said, I need to save him.
Right, Henry.
Henry.
Yeah.
So it's that same kind of feeling in both.
Yes.
And
so we know how the wardrobe was requested. Right. Then we move. The next thing we see is Regina having a problem with her car.
Well, can I introduce it this way?
Okay.
It almost seemed like one of those Lifetime on its side seductress movies.
Oh, absolutely.
That was
the biggest fake out I've ever seen in my life.
I have never seen more classic seduction scenes throughout this episode. The old, my car won't start. I've got stuff here. It's going to go bad. That kind of a thing. And I'm not saying it was bad writing.
No. And it hasn't been a banner day.
Right.
You know, that whole speech. But, I mean, I saw right through that from the get-go.
Yeah. So
conveniently, it was right around the time David was leaving.
Right. So it's interesting, too, that David kissed Catherine on the forehead,
mm-hmm.
still kind of wants to keep things going with Mary Margaret, now kind of trips across the street to go help the mayor, who he says, well, you followed me and all, but doesn't he realize that she's up to no good?
No. See, remember, he says, remember a few episodes ago, he said, forgive me, Regina. I don't think you know anything about evil.
All right.
Remember, he's totally enchanted by her at this point because he doesn't see her as being evil, bad, or anything.
Got it. And we'll get to seeing things in a little bit.
Yes, but we will.
So yeah, it was very interesting seeing. Now, okay, Regina and the evil queen, Queen Regina, mm-hmm. even before then, it's interesting to see her role in both as kind mm-hmm. and a damsel in distress. Mm. I was freaking out. I was going, huh? She always has everything all in control.
That's my point.
And it was like, it's just bizarre seeing.
No, her well, but that's of, my point.
I don't
point.
Know what to do.
She's a master manipulator,
right, right,
and that's
right.
where that went to. Mm. In fact, she actually went so far as to call him her knight in shining armor.
Right. Now, I want to say this too: is that she did mention to Henry, or maybe it was after. No, she did mention to Henry. We need to change things here. Remember. And she said, I want you to transfer out of her class.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
But she there was a term she used. It was like, we need to change things or refocus or something like that. And so
I thought she said move things around a bit.
Okay.
But I could be wrong.
That type of idea.
That's the gist of what she was saying.
So at first you think, well, it's just getting her away from Mary Margaret as a teacher. But then we find, no, it means turning on the heat with David,
right,
getting totally involved, because every other situation that she's tried to keep them apart mm-hmm. hasn't worked.
Right, it's failed.
She tried getting Catherine, I believe, out of the bell cells down there. That didn't work. She left. She was kidnapped. She tried to hang Mary Margaret for the murder with the heart in the box. Right. That didn't work.
Right.
So if you can't get somebody to get something done for you, you jump in and do it yourself.
Right.
You pull a battery cable or something, and you just go and, oh my gosh, help someone. I need to. So.
What kills me is there's no mechanic in town. She couldn't call a mechanic.
Yeah, where's Tillman at?
Yeah, I don't know.
What the heck?
Don't know.
She couldn't call the job. It's only a few blocks down the street.
I know.
She could just walk down there.
But again, that's part of her master plan. So they get to the house. Mm-hmm. He's helping her carry her groceries inside. She invites him in for dinner. Like, what? Are you kidding me? Seriously?
Yeah.
And he goes, no, that's okay. I really should be, you know, going. And then he walks in the house. Mm-hmm. Like, what are you doing?
Uh-huh.
Really? Okay, you don't want to stay for dinner, but I'm going to come in the house anyway.
Yep.
And then I loved the fact that she goes over to the dining room table and pulls a note that says his mom on it.
Yeah.
That looked suspicious to me, too. Because I'm going, Henry would leave her a note and say mom on the front of it? I don't know. I just...
Well, but you said...
She opened the note, and you could see the camera kind of panned back over her shoulder. The note was blank. Mm-hmm. Just like mm-hmm. the card that, you know, gold red when he was telling the name of the, you know, the tow truck driver. So yeah, that was a very clever little play on her part. And of course she made it, you know, Henry's been pulling away and he's been rather upset with me. And damsel in distress again, that whole baloney, because he'd already said no. So I think she planted the note just on the off chance that he would say no.
But I'm telling you, look, you know, a damsel in distress.
Yep.
Take the lady home, mm-hmm. get her home.
Mm-hmm.
And then all of a sudden, you want to stay for dinner? And then the kid's away. Boom, chicka, wow, wow. Boom, chicka, wow, wow. I'd say, okay, well. I see what's happening.
That's kind of where I was going with it too in my head. I just didn't want to quite say it like that, but okay. Well,
I mean, look. Sorry, yeah, kids. I'm being honest.
But it's true because I kind of went, "Oh, dude, she's gonna go. She's gonna just mm-hmm. take this all the ways, seduction mm-hmm. if she can."
Yeah.
Crazy.
So but then actually we go back and we have continuation of the Blue Fairy.
Yes.
And Geppetto talking about the tree.
Yes.
So now we know that it could protect two.
Right. Had enough magic to protect two.
I'm not trying to pick at the writers, but I'm just, you know, why two? Maybe a little extra explanation?
Well, because, okay, so first of all, the tree was pretty decent size, but it wasn't that big. And the wardrobe itself was pretty small when you think about it. So if it has enough magic to protect only two.
Yeah. Yep.
I'm not going to say what I could say right now.
Well, okay. The only connection I can get is when they went into Wonderland, it was two.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe that's kind of the idea. Is two is really it.
Yeah.
Anything more than that, it doesn't work. But two is the number. So, all right. So protect two, and then Geppetto says, one condition, my boy.
Right, because he was saying, what's happening? What's going to happen? And that's when she explained the whole curse thing, what was going to happen, and that the savior would have to, you know, be the one to protect save everyone 20 years later. And that's when he said, okay, then one condition. I'll build the tree. I'll build the wardrobe, but my son goes in. Because
mm-hmm.
he was afraid he was going to turn back into a piece of wood.
And Jiminy Cricket was trying his best to, don't get involved. Don't do that. You know, it's not your place and all this.
Yep.
And so Geppetto was doing a little gold business. He made a bargain.
He did.
He didn't shake anything. Nope. He didn't shake anybody's hand, but he said, this is it. And
he even said, either my boy goes through or no one does. And so I think the Blue Fairy realized that without his expertise at this, there was no way to do it, which kind of makes me laugh a little bit. It's like, what, she couldn't like create the wardrobe with her little wand?
Mm.
Maybe that's not part of her magic. I don't know.
Well, I think everyone has a part to play in this, and everyone has to play their part.
Obviously, so, but you know, that's gonna be the thing that somebody's gonna come up and go, why can't she do it herself? Well, there may be a reason why.
So we see another father's love for their son.
Yes.
What lengths would you go to?
Yeah.
Almost put the future in peril
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
to save your son.
Right.
And so, and in Rumpel's case, he took the dark power to protect his son.
Mm-hmm.
So again, it's these huge choices
that really
have all these repercussions
mm-hmm.
that maybe they know, maybe they don't. But yeah, so... The lasagna is an Italian dish.
Well, wait, before we go into that, let's come back to the war room scene, which was basically them telling, and there were looks passed between everybody that were very, very, very telling. And I would really honestly like to know whether they recreated that scene or if they actually pulled from the pilot. I'd like to see a comparison. That'd be interesting. Just throwing that out there.
Yeah.
But yeah, lasagna.
Italian dish.
Yes.
Pinocchio.
Yes.
Geppetto.
Italian. Yes. It was very funny.
So then it was previously David was telling Mary Margaret, what are you saying? There's dark forces trying to keep us apart.
Mm-hmm.
And in this scene in the kitchen, before Regina was leaning over to David, he said, well, I guess the universe wanted you to find me.
Yes. And he actually said something to her that I thought was very interesting. After the dinner, he said, oh, you really know how to work some magic.
Right.
He thought it was fantastic. That was kind of funny. And then her flirting with him was just a little creepy. I'm sorry. I got respect for Regina and the evil Regals, but her flirting with him was creepy.
Well, I have seen some little messages from some of the evil Regals, and they are definitely saying it felt strange to us too.
Okay, good.
So,
but yeah, it felt a little creepy to me. I was like, because we all know why she's doing it, yeah, you know. But right. Anyway, so yeah, and then you back to what you said. It was that it's almost like the universe wanted you to find me, and then he got her to tell the story of how she found him,
right.
Which I was waiting, and I was spellbound by what she said because she's so mesmerizing because she's good at telling these big fat lies.
Yeah. And all because she forgot her phone.
Right.
So.
Which I thought was interesting.
So the blue fairy said.
No, wait.
Okay.
She tried to kiss him.
Right.
She full on tried to kiss him.
Yes.
And for half a second, I thought he was going to kiss her back.
Okay.
Because he's made some really bad choices lately. Mm-hmm. So I kind of thought maybe he was like, okay, well, maybe I should just give up on Mary Margaret and go after the mayor. I mean, you know. But then he rebuffed her, and he did it so very nicely. I was actually proud of David for that moment where the way he explained it to her, let's just keep things the way they
no,
are.
No, I'll tell you. Well, I tell you what he did. He kept her dangling on the line. That's what he did.
What?
He said, let's just keep it the way it is. Uh-huh. That's what I think. So,
you think he was dangling her in a
line? Oh, sure. Yeah. Let's kind of keep. Let's not finish this out. Let's not go for the kiss right now. Let's just kind of keep. You know, I got two others on the line. I'll have a third, and we'll just kind of, you know.
Well, he is charming.
If the phone don't pick up on the other two rings, I'll, you know. I know where you live.
We'll see.
108 Mayor Street or whatever it is.
Mayor Street.
I don't know what the name of the street is. But I think we know someone in Stevenson that might could tell us.
Yeah, probably. But anyway, before that whole scene, we saw that Emma and August left. Where are we going? We're going on a road trip. So then after the scene with, you know, Regina and David, then we come back to Pinocchio and Geppetto.
Right. So the scene or the line that kind of stuck out to me was when the blue fairy said, you have to take care of this. How are you going to do with Pinocchio? Put him in there before. That's fine. But then the savior has to be the second one.
Right.
To get her out. And she said, I have to return to the fairies for final preparation.
Mm.
What was that?
Mm.
What was the final preparation?
I don't know, but I'm hoping we're going to see at some point
in time. Because we know that they make the dust,
They collect it.
Right.
They don't make it, they collect it. Well, the dwarves make it.
But they use it for certain purposes, and I did not know what the fairies' purposes.
But maybe they have other purposes. Maybe they have other things.
Okay, so.
The other thing was she needs someone to make her believe in her destiny. And then that's when Geppetto goes, my boy can do this.
Right. So.
And then he, you know, it's pretty much you must protect her.
So the blue fairy way back in the day told Geppetto that one day, or I'm sorry, Jiminy Cricket, one day, you know, because you need to help Geppetto finish his destiny.
Right.
Whatever it is.
Right.
And then Geppetto told Pinocchio, you need to watch over and help Emma, help her believe.
Right.
So it's interesting the kind of passing down of the, you watch over this person, you watch over this person, and on. So,
right.
Yep. And I need to turn my page.
Sorry. Well, and one of the other things, and I think this, wasn't this, this is the point where Geppetto, didn't she tell him now that, only one can go. The only two that can go through. Now it has to be Snow White and Emma.
No,
that wasn't at this point in time.
No.
I could have sworn. Okay.
No, just Pinocchio going through.
Okay.
And then it was
Emma. So then it was it was Geppetto who told him, in 28 years, you need to make the Savior believe.
Right.
Okay.
So.
And he even said, you will find me again, and I will look on you with pride. Or am I skipping ahead?
Nah, I think you are.
Oh, sorry.
So what I noticed is the whale separation was the same as the wardrobe in a way. So that's probably what broke Pinocchio's heart.
Yeah.
You know, Geppetto. Because, you know, Pinocchio said, save yourself, and jumped off the little raft, and then the Monstro thing happened. But the wardrobe, you know, is that same type of separation. So anyway, I just kind of wrote that down.
Okay.
So Geppetto lied to save his son.
Yes, he did.
So he did what Pinocchio was told not to do.
Right.
He deceived.
Mm-hmm.
So, great dad. But he did it for, you know.
Selfless reasons.
Right. So.
See, he was unselfish. He was brave, and he was unselfish.
So Angus did find Emma.
Yeah, he did.
On the side of the road, but it was actually
through the tree.
In the tree.
Right, through the tree.
And it was like Charlie's Lobster Shack Charlie's a name from Lost.
Charlie's a name from Lost. Yes, that is a Lost reference, but also I was thinking Charlie Tuna from Starfish or Star-Kissed Tuna.
Now, from what I understand, we did see the Lost plane fly over.
Yes.
So those who don't like Lost very much, I'm just saying, we saw the Lost plane fly over. And that really opens up a whole another level to this.
Oh, dude. Mm-hmm.
Is that Storybrooke, I guess, was not protected. I don't even know if it was called Storybrooke before the curse.
Hmm.
Because when he came through, when Pinocchio was sent, was before the curse happened.
Yes.
And when Emma was sent through, that was just
before that.
Right before
right.
the curse. So the plane that flew overhead. So I guess what I'm saying is there must have been some type of a bubble or something that's created around Storybrooke where you don't have planes or something. Because I haven't seen any.
Did you not? Yeah, I haven't seen them either. But did you not see when Emma came through the wardrobe?
Right.
There was like a circle that spread out like a ripple effect, but it was rainbow colored.
Yep.
That was very interesting.
It was similar to when the Prince Charming kissed Snow White.
Mm-hmm.
It was a little kind of more clear.
Yeah.
When Emma came through.
Yeah.
But it was very similar. It was a very prism-y kind of a circle that went out. And, anyway. So, yep. So we saw Caitlin's blanket.
Yes, we did.
And the August was talking about he had strayed so far that he went to Pleasure Island, which was on the other side of the world.
He went to Phuket. Phuket, Thailand.
Okay.
That's where he went.
But he said it was an island, so I was like, oh, okay. Well.
Right. It is. Thailand is an island.
Right.
So he went to Phuket.
Is that where the lemurs are?
No.
Okay.
Lemurs are in Madagascar.
Right. Okay. So, but he was saying that when Emma came and stayed in Storybrooke and time started at 8:15 or, yeah.
Yes.
That he noticed that something happened at 8:15 at night. Right.
Right. Because in Thailand, it's 12 hours difference. Mm-hmm. And he noticed that it was at that exact moment, he felt a shooting pain up his leg.
Right.
So he knew that he'd failed to stay and protect her. And we saw what happened to make him feel like he failed in that he left her in that foster home.
Yep. So
that horrible, horrible place.
So we,
but he was really cute. That whole scene with Jacob and the baby was so sweet and so adorable. And when he left her and he kissed, you know, he blew a kiss and put it on her forehead, I was just like, oh.
Yep.
It was so heart-wrenching. It was so cute.
He had a lot of range, man. So many different things he was doing. It was really, really cool to watch.
It was really, really cute to watch him, you know, entertain the baby. And just, it was just, it was very sweet.
What was that dance move when he held his nose and kind of went?
He was doing like, I can't think of what it's called.
It's an 80s thing.
No, it's not. It's the 60s. It's okay. It's part of the swim.
Okay.
If I'm not mistaken, is the name of the dance, but yeah.
So now we see someone who... And it's kind of in life is sometimes a situation that's good for someone is bad for somebody else.
Right.
So the more the curse is lessened or kind of broken, that now we see it's good for certain people, but it's bad for August.
Well, yeah, because if the curse is broken and... He wants it. Well, but here's the thing. It's actually bad for him that it's not happening fast enough.
Okay.
That's the problem. It's not that the curse being broken is bad for him. It's that it's not happening fast enough. It's a race against time right now to find out whether or not he will survive long enough.
Yeah. Okay. So,
do you know what I mean?
I mean, and that was his father's fear is that, you know, my boy's going to turn back into, you know, a wooden puppet.
Mm-hmm. So. Exactly.
All right. So it was very interesting because he lifted up his pant leg and he could see that his leg was wood, but Emma couldn't.
No, she couldn't.
Because he said her denial was causing her was preventing her from seeing the truth.
Yeah. And then she, of course, goes, "You're expecting me to believe you're a fairy tale character?" And then she kind of asked who he was, who he thinks he is or whatever. And he's like, "Pinocchio, I'm Pinocchio." OMG. Mm-hmm. That was like such an awesome moment for me.
Yeah.
Hugely awesome moment. We already knew it before that. But I love the fact that he actually admitted to her that he is Pinocchio. I think that's fantastic.
And he really leans on her and says, "You need to save us, all of us."
Yeah.
And she says, "I didn't want any of this. I can't.
Right.
All I want is my kid. I can't take on all this." And if that's not the reluctant hero, I don't know what is.
Oh my gosh.
I mean,
that's so Joseph
Campbell.
Really
it. Yeah. Yeah. And we've seen this over and over and over again from the Bible through Star Wars, all these stories.
Mm-hmm.
There's this point where someone is tasked with this savior or rescuing or something. And they say, "I can't do it."
Right.
"I can't do it. I'm slow of speech. I'm not brave. I'm not this. I'm not that." You have all these different excuses and they don't do it. And, you know, we see that clearly right here. So.
Oh, definitely.
It was interesting because he said, "You're our only hope."
Yeah. Yeah.
Obviously, you think of Star Wars as far as Obi-Wan. But actually... If you think about it, Obi-Wan really wasn't the hope.
No, he wasn't.
Obi-Wan taught Luke, and Luke was the hope.
Right.
So, in a way, you know, it could be Emma, okay, but it also could be Emma and somebody else.
I'm wondering if it's Henry.
So, because we've talked about Emma being the savior.
Yes.
And if we do follow the path of pretty significant saviors in history and literature and beliefs and all this is the savior must die. But if the savior teaches someone else what they do or the importance of what they're doing, then someone else can take that up and continue on. And it possibly could be Henry. I mean, that's kind of been tossed around for a long time.
Oh, yeah.
If Emma dies, Henry will take it up from there and finish it out.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Mm-hmm.
I noticed that the shop that Marco was in looked like Hugo to me. It was really kind of a strange thing.
Oh, yeah. The movie. You're talking about the movie Hugo. Yeah. Yeah, no, it was really good. It was a bunch of mishmashy, you know, tinker type things, which was real interesting.
And we did see for the first time, obviously, we shouldn't have seen it last week, but we did see Pinocchio's hat right next to August's typewriter early on.
Yeah, we did.
In the episode.
Yeah.
So.
And that's when I knew for a fact there was no going back. We also saw in the shop, I love the fact that he very hesitantly, he wanted so desperately to kind of, you know, say father. You know, he wanted to call him father. You know he did. He had that look on his face.
Yeah.
But then for him to tell him how to fix it, and when he said, how did you learn? My father taught me. He did a good job, you know, and just, and the conversation between the two of them was just so heart-wrenching and yet hopeful.
Right.
That was the thing I got out of it, is that, you know, August was so very afraid that he was going to disappoint him, and then, you know, very, very prodigal son to me.
Yeah.
It seemed very prodigal son.
And he, yeah, very much, because he was going to work for his father for free.
Mm-hmm.
And he said he wanted to start fixing things.
Yeah.
And actually, fixing things is a direct line from Anakin.
Mm.
He said, I like to fix things.
Mm-hmm.
But he couldn't fix his mother's death.
Right.
And in the end, he couldn't fix him.
Right.
And that fear and that anger just destroyed him. And so, you know, I think August is realizing that trying to kind of help Emma believe maybe isn't working. But maybe he could fix his life by, you know, coming back with his father. And I know that it's a very dramatic, kind of an emotional thing for a father and a son to be together, working together, but not know.
Well, one of them knows.
Right, right, right.
Well,
right.
And what I'm actually seeing in this is that with August saying he wants to fix things, I think there's a level of, I don't want to say defeat in him, but he's concerned that he's not going to be able to get Emma to believe.
Mm-hmm.
So he figures he doesn't have a whole lot of time. So he's going to try and make things right between him and Marco.
Yeah. Yep.
And he'll probably reveal who he is to Marco at some point in time. Don't know when, but he probably will. I like that we saw the whale up on the shelf. That was really cool. And he noticed that. And that's when I think that gave him the courage to say, do you want an assistant? How'd you feel about having an assistant?
Well, I do love, and maybe Marco knows, but I do love the validation that Marco gave him. You know, because August really kind of threw his cards on the table and said, look, I failed. I mean, he said it.
Mm-hmm.
I failed. I left her. And we'll talk about that last scene in a second. But it's like the failure caused him to come, you know, to Marco and to work for him. And, you know, Marco said, but no, you haven't failed.
Mm-hmm.
You realized you made a mistake and you're making it right.
Right.
You know, and I think that's really key to, you know, a lot of us. I think we all hit this point. We think it's too far gone. It's like, no, you know, you got to start today. And we've heard it over and over and over a lot of different ways.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, it's really neat that, you know, his father was being his father.
Yeah.
And we don't see a lot of that in the show. You know, the families are not together and it's just strained and all this kind of stuff. But it was a really nice moment. So.
Yeah, no, it was a very... I really liked that scene a lot. I thought that was very, there were so many things and there really wasn't a huge amount of dialogue, but the dialogue that was there was really very strong and I liked it. I thought it was really good.
So then we see the scene in the, with Emma and Pinocchio in the end with the kids that were going to go to Pleasure Island. He had the money.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
The baby. You're talking
right,
about the baby.
Right.
And when he kissed her and he said goodbye to her. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
So who was that fix-it guy? Do you think that was like a Stromboli guy? Or was it kind of the mean guy that was at Pleasure Island? Remember the guy with the cigar?
You're talking about the salt mine boss?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Don't know. I don't know. I'd have to look and see if that was his name, because I thought he said his name was Raskin, something like that. So it'd be interesting to see if that name pops up in the movie. I love the movie, but I haven't seen it in a really long time. So I need to watch it again.
So, but I think that the punk kid with the money was that
Lampwick.
Mm-hmm. And then we see shots of some other kids that are going to go too.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm willing to bet a small amount of money. I don't know how they get there. Maybe it's by boat.
Mm-hmm.
But I'll bet you it's Jiminy's parents on there.
Interesting.
So.
Yeah, that would be interesting.
Because they corralled all the kids in the cartoon.
Yes, they did.
Hi, diddle-dee-dee. Get on the thing. And we're going to take you over. Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah. Yeah, you're talking about Longfellow and
right.
Honest John. Yep. Yes. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Or Foulfellow, not Long. I keep calling him Long. It's Foulfellow and yep. Honest John. Yes. Yes. So that would be interesting to see if they did end up somewhere on that whole thing with him. Yes. And then the last thing we see of the whole entire episode was Emma calling to Henry on the walkie-talkies, yep. Operation Cobra, Code Red. And he goes downstairs and gets in the car with her. And she just asks him point blank, do you want to come live with me? Do you want to be with me? More than anything. Okay, buckle up. We're going.
Yeah.
And that was just like, wait, what? Emma, you cannot steal your kid.
Right. But you know why I think she did that?
Mm-hmm.
Is because she really wanted to kind of challenge everything.
Maybe.
And say, all I really want is Henry. This whole thing is crazy. This town, this savior stuff. I'm going to put it all to the test, you know. And test her in the Bible, in mm-hmm. life. You know, it's just sometimes you just got to throw it on the table and say, I kind of don't believe this or I do, and I'm willing to put everything on the line about it.
Yeah.
So
yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
So maybe she's just, I mean, she's not thinking clearly, obviously, at this point. So, yeah. I mean, she's just had stuff handed to her, you know, and I have to admit, if I was there and I saw him pull his pant leg up and I didn't see anything, if I didn't see the wooden, you know, whatever, I would be like, you're crazy.
Mm-hmm.
This town is full of crazies. Total, absolute crazies. Jefferson, who claims to be part of the curse, and, you know, now August, and who knows who else, mm-hmm. you know, and Henry thinking this, and, you know, she's just thinking, this is a bad influence on him. I want to get him out of here. So, you know, desperate.
Right.
Desperate soul.
Yep. So, I think that's it.
That covers the episode. It was really, really good.
Yeah, it's really good.
Really good episode. I mean, just they keep getting better and better, and it's just, oh my goodness.
And the clock is ticking down.
I know. Two more episodes.
Anyhow, that's it. Thank you so much for downloading, listening, however you do.
Mm-hmm.
And please send in your emails and your voicemails, and we will do our best to kind of play them or show them. We are trying to kind of get a handle on the length of the shows so that it's a little more kind of palatable. And anyway, so we're trying to do our best to kind of get it all together.
Right. So. And don't forget, this week's live show is actually Friday night instead. Friday,
okay.
The 4th.
We mean it this time. Sorry for the mix-up before.
This time we really do mean it, because Saturday night we will not be here. So
we're on a secret, not an Operation Cobra thing, but it's something.
Yeah.
We're
it's
something.
Top secret, but it's really, yeah. Yep. It's, so yeah, the episode, the live show will be on Friday the 4th.
Friday okay? the 4th. So anyway,
Friday,
thanks
May
so much.
4th. May the 4th be with you.
May the 4th be with you.
Sorry, okay. Had to throw that in there.
Okay, thanks so much for listening, guys, and we will talk soon.
Bye.
See ya. Bye.